Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the church.
You're listening to the Mormon Channel of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Welcome to Why I Believe. My name is Rick Starr. This is the third in a four-part series about the Mormon handcart historic sites in Wyoming. In this episode, we'll hear from Elder and Sister Fenn, directors of these sites. They'll share their connection to the handcart pioneers and how up to 70 missionary couples work to keep this facility open year-round.
We're here at the Martin Cove Visitor Center, right by the Sweetwater River. You can probably hear the Sweetwater in the background. And I'm visiting with Elder and Sister Fenn, who are the directors of the Martin Cove facility here in Wyoming. Thanks for taking the time to meet with me for a few minutes.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you here. We love having visitors at Martin's Cove.
Yes, we do.
Well, we've noticed as we've been going around here with our family today that there's really something sacred and special about this place. Talk about how you felt about having a calling to direct this facility.
Well, the calling to direct came as a real surprise to us, as most calls do. We knew, though, that we wanted to serve here. We served in 2009. And last year also, and then we're called as the directors after two different missions here. For me, the motivation is very personal because I have ancestors who were members of the Martin Handcart Company, great-great-great-grandparents who died on the trek after crossing the North Platte. Both of them died within 5 days of each other, and left my great-great-grandmother, who was only 9 at the time, an orphan, with her older sister and cared for by a good member of the church who was a good friend of her mother and basically helped raised by her down in southern Utah. And as I know her story and have learned her story and the experiences she had, I felt like it was the least I could do to come here and represent her and her parents who did not finish the journey. And to be here and a little bit of payback, I guess, to my grandma would be a motivation. And I have felt her spirit here on a regular basis. It is a very special place. And President Hinckley has talked, and other members of the general authorities, but President Hinckley especially, has talked about the sacred, hallowed nature of this site. And we feel it every day, and the missionaries and the visitors feel it every day.
How many missionaries are currently serving here? And talk about how many visitors come through here on a weekly basis or just during the summer.
Well, we are actually over the three different sites that are here. There's Martin's Cove, the Willie Six Crossing Center, and Rock Creek Hollow. And at all of those different centers, we have visitors that come. We have probably around 25,000 youth who come here to trek. How many do you think we have at the visitor center?
I would guess probably that many more. We probably have 50,000 total between the trek groups and the visitors during the course of a year. We're open. The visitor centers, just like all church visitor centers, are open every day of the week, every day of the year. And so we're here year-round. But the trek groups, and most of the groups come during the summer. Mm-hmm. And we run between winter and summer from 9 couples at the two main sites, at the Willie site and at Martin's Cove, 9 couples to this year, up as high as 70 couples.
Wow.
That are here at the two sites, just to make everything work. Between the visitors, because we do everything. We have missionaries who will spend one day at the visitor center, perhaps, another day on the trail somewhere helping out, another day maybe working in the shop, repairing hand carts or working on projects, and the next day cleaning restrooms, and then the next day back at the visitor center. So we do everything. We're completely self-sufficient that way. Mm-hmm. So it requires large numbers. But our position as director is over the Mormon Handcart Historic Sites in Wyoming. That's the official name of this mission, if you will, that includes those three sites that Sister Fenn mentioned.
Can you share any special experiences that you've had as you've had groups come through here? Youth and families, I know you have so many various groups, but maybe a special experience or two that you've felt have really touched your hearts.
I served my mission in Argentina and have kept my Spanish up because of my previous career as a school administrator and prior to that a Spanish teacher. But one day, just a few weeks ago, one of the sisters came over from the visitor center and said, "We need someone who can speak Spanish over in the visitor center. We have a couple of other elders who have served Spanish-speaking missions, but I happened to be right there," and I said, "Well, I'll go over." And went to the visitor center and met this brother and this sister with their son. And he looked not familiar to me, but as soon as we started talking and I asked him where he was from, he told me he was from Salta, Argentina. And I said, "That's where I served my mission." He said, "When were you there?" This is all in Spanish, of course. "When were you there?" And I told him I was there 1964 to 1966. He said, "Well, I lived there then." And then I asked his name, and I asked him again, and he told me. And then I realized who he was, that I had known him there. He was a little older than I was and was married when I was there and had a small family, was a singer and sang in a folkloric group that was nationally known over there. So immediately I said, "You know, what can we show you?" And they were here for a few months living with a son who lives in Roosevelt, Utah. So we took them out, got in our little rovers that we can sometimes take people out in, and drove out, went up towards the cove, walked up to the cove and shared some stories up there, and then came back down and stopped at the monument, and you know where that monument is, that looks mm-hmm. up into the cove, and shared a few more thoughts and some stories. And Brother Arce turned to me and he said, "These are my people too, aren't they?" And I said, "Yeah, they are." And he's from Argentina, has no ancestors who would have been even remotely tied to the handcart people. But he said, "These are my people." He said, "These are my friends." I said, "You're right. They are. It's our legacy. It's yours and it's mine, no matter where we're from." And that's what we see as people come through. They may have ancestors who are part of this. They may not even be tied to it at all, but they feel that spirit and realize what those people did that makes a difference for them in the church today. That was a special one for me.
You know, you really do. You feel that spirit here. You feel the spirit of those people who have gone before us. And like you said, these people in many foreign nations now feel the effects of what happened right here because of the posterity of these people, like you, who went to Argentina and shared the gospel. That posterity has shared the gospel all over the world. So from this small sacred place by the Sweetwater River, the gospel has really gone forth. Sister Fenn, do you have anything you'd like to share?
The thing that I really love, aside from seeing all the trickers, is when I see a family with children of different shapes and sizes, and they've all come dressed in pioneer clothes. And the mother's carrying a book of pioneer stories in one hand, and it's all dog-eared, and the kids are all come with a little tag on representing somebody from the Martin or the Willie handcart companies or the Hodgett wagon trains that followed behind. And they come ready to have their children experience this place and warm their testimonies by the fires of those who came before, and to ensure that their children will know and that these stories will get passed on. I just think that that's just a tremendous thing that we see parents doing for their children.
It's true. Just today we've seen numerous families going by, and they're with their hand carts, and their little children are pushing and pulling, and they're really just soaking up the experience of those who have gone before.
We're seeing this same spirit of the hand cart people throughout the world, and the church is having some great opportunities to extend these trek experiences to youth in other countries. 2 years ago, a couple came through here being trained in our, when we train our trek leaders, those who are bringing trek groups here need to come here for training, a two-day training. And this particular couple came through, they had just received a call to go to Argentina to serve on a church, one of the church ranches, and establish the trek experience for the youth in Argentina. And they have since sent me a couple of videos, DVDs, of their treks in Argentina. They've translated the stories. They've built the hand carts. They have translated some of the songs. And they, when I watch those kids on those treks, other than the fact that the flags and the signs they might have are in Spanish, and instead of trekking up a long hill or up the mountains, they're trekking along cornfields, perhaps, and out in the plain, in the pampas of Argentina. And when they have the woman's pull, rather than going up a hill, they're out in kind of rougher terrain, level but rough terrain, where they've thrown out a few logs to get in their way, and the young sisters have to reach down and move those logs out of the way as they do that woman's pull, when they pull by themselves. And then see them sharing their testimonies and singing the songs, and you couldn't, other than just those few things, you couldn't tell the difference between a trek down in Argentina and a trek here. And we're doing them in Brazil and in Australia, and as I say, in Argentina. I think they're hoping to be able to do them soon in Chile. We do them in Texas and in Oklahoma and in Florida on church ranches and farms. And they're getting those experiences. And it, I mean, there's nothing like coming to Martin's Cove or to Sixth Crossing or to Rock Creek Hollow, where it all actually happened. Mm-hmm. But short of that, the spirit is not geographically limited. And it can appear anywhere if those youth want that and they feel it. And they're part of the pioneer spirit. It's just like Brother Arce. It's their heritage. It's their stories too. And it's their heritage just like it is yours and mine.
We've had some tender moments watching as stakes get prepared to make a sacred river crossing, and seeing the young priests in the ward as they carry their bishop across the river, and a son who comes back and carries his mother across. I simply don't have the words to describe that special, sacred feeling of watching our youth as they rescue each other.
Perhaps just a different thing to mention is the great experience that we have serving with these other missionaries. You know, these are all missionaries who have given up their grandchildren for a while and their homes, and have
their pets.
Given up their pets, whatever may happen to be, and have come out here and just absolutely love the experience. We form relationships that quickly, as we learn to get to know these couples, relationships that are eternal in nature, within a very short period of time. Relationships that would take months and years in most settings takes days and weeks here. The same kind of relationships. Mm-hmm. And to see them wanting to come back and serve again and serve again and serve again. We had one couple that left. They were on a short 12-week mission here. This was their sixth mission here. They just have to keep coming back, and have been able to keep coming back and enjoy this. If this particular message gets out to anyone listening and considering, you know, there is nothing like missionary service, and there's nothing like the variety of opportunities for missionary service for senior couples in the church. It is, you could not list on 20 pages all the different opportunities that senior couples could have, different things that they could do to be able to serve a mission. And the blessings that our children receive, you talk to these missionaries. We just talked with one of our couples today, interviewed them. They said that our things have never been better for our family, for our children, never, since as they have been in the 18 months, because they served, they stayed and served at an 18-month mission, as they've been in this 18 months.
We should add to that, though, that just the things I've heard from the different missionaries today, this is hard work. I mean, they are working hard, but the two things I've heard is they've never worked so hard in their life, and they've never had so much fun in their life as they have on a mission like this here. Later tonight we're having a big, a dinner or barbecue or something, and the missionaries have a band they put together. They entertain everybody, and you guys just have a lot of fun. It's a wonderful, fun time out here, and hard work, but just a great experience.
Well, it's fun, and it's, there's a great, this particular meeting tonight is our stake high priest's annual meeting. You know, the high priest quorum in the stake annually has a meeting, and this is our meeting here. And traditionally, the high priest from Casper have come down here and put on this this dinner for us, a recognition dinner. And of course, we're all high priests that are serving missions here. But and probably should mention that the local members here have a great love. The members in the Casper stake and the Riverton, Wyoming stake, and Casper, Wyoming stake, are really responsible for all of this happening. Without them, these sites would not be here. They have a great love for this place. When they see us in town, in the city, with our missionary badges on, they almost invariably will say, well, how are things at the Cove? How are things at the Cove? It's their spot, too. So it's a special feeling for everyone who is involved in any way with these sites.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk and share your feelings and your perspective. And as we close, would you mind, just from your perspective as directors of the Mormon Handcart Historic Site, would you, from that perspective, to people who have never been here, will you share your feelings about the gospel and the truthfulness of the gospel and the strength that has come through these pioneers who have come through this site?
I hardly know where to begin. These people have become our friends. And yes, we have 70 missionaries that work here on this side of the veil. But we firmly believe that there are others that we cannot see, but we feel their presence. My testimony has grown so much. And I've learned to be so thankful for the restoration of the gospel and for Joseph Smith and for the reason why these people came and sacrificed everything they had. I think about people like James Tennant, who was a very wealthy man in England. Gave everything he had to the church and then didn't make it. Their willingness to sacrifice, their charity, their humility makes me want to be a better person. I am so thankful for my testimony of Jesus Christ and knowing that he's our ultimate rescuer. And I can't help but think that this whole trail to me is a type of the atonement. And know that I have hope and trust in him and always will.
When these people join the church in England and in Denmark and Sweden and in the eastern part of the United States, and then had that great desire together with the saints in Utah. I like to think that it had a little bit to do with perhaps a better way of life, a little bit to do with better homes, had something to do with avoiding the persecutions that they faced in Europe and in the United States. But I firmly believe, and I teach it with trek groups and with visitors when I can, that the primary motivation for them doing what they did, for them to be willing to suffer the way that they suffered, was that they were determined with every ounce of life that they had to go to a place where they could receive the sealing ordinances of the temple that would bind them together as families. It couldn't happen anywhere else in the world then, except in Utah. It was the only place where that could happen. And they were determined to gain those sealing ordinances and were willing to die for it, which many of them did. And now are eternally bound as families because of the gospel and what it provides for eternal families. I tell people that we are who we are because they were who they were. We can believe what we believe because they believed what they believed. And we can enjoy the blessings of the temple, those sealing ordinances, those binding ordinances of the temple, because they were determined to provide that for their family and for those and for their posterity. And so I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that rescue that Sister Fan mentioned, that rescue that took place here, because without the rescue I would not be alive today, because that rescue saved my great-great-grandmother and allowed our family to exist, and allows us to be an eternal family today. And that rescue continues, whether it's through us or through other missionaries or through the youth leaders who come here, that rescue continues. And I am convinced that as they look down and see the results of their suffering, that they would probably say, as some who did suffer greatly and lived would say, we would do it all again for our family's sake and for the gospel's sake. They believed that strongly. As members of the church today, we need to be as committed as they to get our families eternally bound in the temple, eternally sealed, so that together with those ancestors of ours, whether direct or by adoption, we can share the eternal blessings of the gospel.
Elder and Sister Fan, thank you so much for taking the time to meet with me today. I'm excited for our listeners to hear our discussion and gain a little bit of the spirit of this historic site at Martin's Cove. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Our pleasure, and we love to have people come and experience this anytime, any day.
You've been listening to Episode 3 in a 4-part series on the Mormon Handcart Historic Sites of Wyoming. Please join us for our concluding episode in this series, where we'll hear from President Scott Lorimer, who is instrumental in acquiring these historic sites for the church. He'll talk about the discovery that much of the temple work for members of the handcart companies had not been completed, and how his stake undertook this important work. You can download and listen to this and other episodes of Why I Believe by visiting mormonchannel.org/programs. Scroll down and select Why I Believe. Thanks for listening.